I want to jump off this evening with Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 1. It's a verse in the Old Testament. The book of Isaiah is divided into two parts, and chapter 40 starts the second half of the book of Isaiah. It says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. God wants his people to be comforted. And so here he calls out for his people that are in distress at this point. They're discouraged. He calls out for his people to be comforted because he wants, it's God's desire for his people that know him to be comforted in their lives. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4 says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. To be comforted is a worthy goal. It's a worthy destination that God wants for his people. Sometimes it has to come through mourning, but it is not God's will for his people to walk around mourning and discouraged and disappointed all the time, to be constantly filled with sorrow and despair. Now, he doesn't want us to just have a fluffy, easy life. He doesn't want us to float through life and do nothing. He wants us to work hard. He wants us to labor for him and be diligent. But he does want us to have joy and comfort in our lives, no matter what is going on. Maybe someone's going through the depths of a hard valley. God still wants them to have joy. And sometimes to go from sorrow to joy, we need comfort along the way there. But God does not want his people to be comfortable in their sin or comfortable in their laziness or a lackadaisical Christian life. It's been said before that the job of a pastor is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And sometimes God wants us to do that. God finds us at a comfortable position where we have our feet kicked up and we are, just kind of floating through life. God wants to shake us up at moments like that and kind of afflict us to get us where we need to be. So there's a balance in all of this comfort and affliction and so forth. And so I want to look at, as we walk through this evening, I want to look at seven principles in comforting one another. So God wants us to be comforted, and he wants you and I to partake in that comfort of each other. So let's look at seven principles in comforting one another. Number one, first principle I want to look at is comforting others comes from our comfort from God. So if we're going to comfort one another in the right way, we should start by being comforted of God, have comfort from God, and then be able to share that with other people. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4 shows a picture of the Apostle Paul in his life. Here's what he says: blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. What a beautiful phrase. The God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And so it says that God comforts us so that we can comfort other people. And it points to the fact that it is the comfort of God that flows through us to other people. Now we know how to comfort someone because we ourselves have been comforted by God. By the way, it might be somebody else that has comforted you, but they did it through the Holy Spirit. It was, if somebody else comforts you spiritually, it was God that comforted you through that person. God often puts us through difficulties and trials on purpose so that we can learn and be a comfort to those that go through similar things as well. The point here is that God wants us to be looking around to see, to notice other people that are struggling with difficulties so that we can comfort them, so that we can show them that there is an answer to all that they're going through. But when we comfort them, we should give them hope and not attack and condemn them. And we'll come back to that thought a little bit later. There are many things that God may be trying to accomplish in someone's life. And so we can't put God in a box and judge something before the time. We don't know all that God is trying to accomplish. But he tells us that one thing he wants to accomplish is that he wants us to comfort those that are in trouble. And so comforting others comes from our comfort of God. Number two, this is along the same lines of that, is that God's comfort applies to any trouble. It doesn't matter what kind of trouble, what kind of difficulty somebody else is going through. If you've been comforted by God, you are equipped now to comfort someone else. It is often said that, well, that person just lost a loved one. Let's see, who can we get? We need someone who's lost a loved one before so that they can reach out and comfort that person because they know what they're going through. They can understand. They can empathize. And God says, did you notice that in that verse 4, that he comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You don't have to have gone through the same valley that somebody else is going through now in order to comfort them, because God is the God of all comfort. It's the same God that comforted you that can comfort them. We don't have to go and try to find a new answer. It's the same answer. It's God and the Holy Spirit that is inside us. And so if you've been through any difficulty and God has comforted you, you are now equipped to comfort those that are in any trouble. Not just similar trouble, not the exact same trouble, any trouble. Because you've been comforted by God. We are equipped. I want you to know that in your life, that you are capable, you are able. If God has comforted you, you can comfort somebody else. Let's go on for sake of time. Number three, so you're not falling asleep. Number three is that God wants us to comfort those that have been judged by God. You know, sometimes the difficulty somebody's going through is of their own making, but that's okay. God can still use you to bring comfort through repentance and through learning on the other side of the difficulty, on the other side of the judgment. I want to go back where we started, Isaiah 40 and verses 1 through 3. I want to read down through verse 3. Again, it shows the nation of Israel. And Isaiah is both prophesying what's going to happen to them. They're going to go into the Babylonian captivity. And then, starting in chapter 40, he gives them an answer for when they come back out of their captivity. He's going to give Israel a long-term answer in their lives. So Isaiah 40, verse 1, it says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins, which is the Babylonian captivity, 70 years in captivity. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And the passage is going to go on and talk about the coming of the Messiah. And that even though Israel has been wicked and sinful and God has judged them and brought them low, they've hit rock bottom, God is saying, lift up your heads. I'm going to comfort you. And you've accomplished all of your judgment. And now God is going to give you comfort. God is going to give you a Savior, the Messiah, the servant of the Lord, as the book of Isaiah goes on to show. And whenever you and I find someone that is low because they've been judged by God, maybe a prison ministry type of idea, you find someone that's, and they don't have to be have committed a felony or anything like that, but just someone who is sinful, and God has brought consequences into their lives, and they are devastated, they're discouraged because of the difficulties in their lives, we can come alongside of them and say, you know what? God will pardon you. God will forgive you. God will bring you back and you can look to Jesus. By the way, maybe it's an unbeliever, and you can use that to share the gospel with them. But primarily, we're talking about comforting one another, comforting God's people. You can find a wayward Christian that is struggling in his life, because he's rebelled against God and God's hand is heavy on him. But you can say, you know what? There is hope. If you will turn to the Lord, God will abundantly pardon and God will lift, and you can give comfort to a person even as they're in the midst of the judgment of God. Hosea 6 in verse 1 is a beautiful picture of this. It says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up." What a great encouragement to share with someone that God, it is God's hand on you, but not because he hates you, because he loves you. And even though he has torn, he will heal. Even though he has smitten, he will bind you up. He will bind us up. And so find someone, or if you come across someone that is under God's judgment, you can actually bring comfort to that person by showing them the way back to God, and that God will restore things in their lives. So God wants us to comfort those that have been judged by him as a way back. Number four, a fourth principle about comforting one another, is that comfort must be according to truth. We can't just make up the terms and comfort someone with what we make up. It's got to be according to the truth of God. Psalm 119 and verse 50 says this, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." The psalmist was in the depths of despair. He was very afflicted. And then he turned to God's word and the truth of God's word, the promises, the encouragement of God's word. It quickened him. It brought him back. It encouraged him. And it's because it is the truth. The Bible says that thy word is true from the beginning. It says thy word is truth. And the only true comfort that we can ever give to people is from the word of God, the truths, the principles of the word of God. Any other comfort is really in vain. And this is why the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. Whenever the Holy Spirit comes alongside us and comforts us, he always does it according to the truth of God's word. He will never lead us astray. He'll never lead us into sin. He'll never pick us up and point us in a wrong direction. The Holy Spirit will always point to truth. Job was comforted by his friends. They came and tried to comfort him, and we're going to come back to this a little bit more later. But in Job 21, in verse 34, Job shows that their comfort didn't help because it was not according to truth. It says, "How then comfort ye me in vain, seeing in your answers there remaineth falsehood?" Whenever you and I come in and try to comfort someone, but it's based on a lie, or it's based on just our opinion, it's not based on the truth of God's word, we're comforting in vain. It is not a lasting comfort. It's not a comfort that will actually really do any good. Just because someone gives someone words of consolation doesn't mean that they are biblically comforting them. You know, if someone robs a bank and gets caught and goes to jail, and his friend comes to visit him and says, "You know, don't feel bad. You know, at least you didn't get caught for that first bank job you did. And when you get out, you know, you still got all that money waiting for you." You know, that's not real comfort. That's not the biblical comfort that we're talking about now. Comforting someone is not just making them feel better about their situation. It's giving them truth and hope so that they can derive hope from God's truth, and that so they can see that all things work together for good to them that love God, so they can see that no good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. See, we can give hope, but it has to be according to truth in order to be true comfort. True comfort must line up with the mind of God. I want to read a verse in Jeremiah 27 and verse 14. Here's the opposite. You know, you give comfort according to truth. What if you give comfort, make someone feel better, but it's not according to truth? It's like the false prophets in the nation of Israel did. Jeremiah 27:14, it says, "Therefore, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, Ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you." The king of Israel was told, when the king of Babylon comes, when Nebuchadnezzar comes, I don't want you to resist him, fight against him. I want you to submit. He's gonna defeat all of us, but I want you to go with him into Babylon. And if you submit to him, then I will bless you. And then he turned to his counselors, the prophets, the false prophets around him, and said, what's going to happen? How's this going to turn out? And they said, oh, you know, blessed be ye of the Lord. You're not going to have to go to Babylon. You're going to win. You know, God's going to deliver you and everything's going to be hunky-dory. But that was false hope. It wasn't based on truth. And he actually did go to Babylon. And he had his eyes put out. He had his sons killed in front of him. This is King Zedekiah. He had his sons killed in front of him and then had his eyes put out. The last thing he ever saw was his children being put to death by Nebuchadnezzar's army. And then he was taken away to Babylon and lived out the rest of his days in servitude. It could have gone better if he had followed God, if he didn't listen to the false prophets. But see, comfort that is not according to truth is a false comfort. Someone might feel better for a moment, but it didn't actually help them. We are called to give true comfort. Let's come back to Job's friends in just a moment. But look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. Here's a rubber meets the road situation where God's people were discouraged about something, and then we are encouraged to come with truth to lift them up. I want to read a passage, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." Probably what's going on here is that the believers know of other believers that have died and they're worried. Oh no, did they perish? Are they going to make it to heaven? Jesus is going to come back to take us out of here, the rapture, and they're not going to be here. Maybe they're going to get left behind because they're dead. And so they are sorrowful. They are mourning. And here's the comfort, verse 14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And maybe we could use the word here, comfort one another with this truth. It is the truth of God's word. This is not something that's made up. This is the word of God, the word of the Lord that says God is going to come and those that are already dead will rise first and there'll be a great meeting in the air and we will be with Jesus forever. Those that have already died have not perished. They will not be left behind. And so God says, comfort one another with truth. Whenever you find someone that's down in the dumps, find a truth that fits their situation. Maybe it's a promise from God. Maybe it's a command from God of what they should do. But find truth and give it to them. And that is where real comfort comes from. Comfort must be according to truth. Number five, let's go on. Our fifth thought is that comfort involves realizing your connection. What do I mean by that? You and I, as believers, are connected to each other. We are part of the family of God. We're part of the bride of Christ. We're part of the body of Christ. We have a commonality that God gives us that connects us. And when we comfort one another, we realize that connection with them. There's a principle in the Bible. And by the way, we talked about the comforter, the Holy Spirit. The Greek word translated comforter is the paraclete. The Holy Spirit is the paraclete. That means to call alongside, parakaleo, to call alongside. That somebody is struggling, and you say, hey, come here, and you call them alongside, and you walk with them, and you go with them through their problems, and you empathize with them. You fall in with them in their difficulty, and you comfort them, and you lift them up. And we, when you see another believer, you are connected to that believer through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. And we should call them alongside of us and say, hey, we are connected in the body of Christ. And I want to lift you up and I want to encourage you in the Lord. The Bible says that that is how God is toward his people. We're going to look at a verse, Isaiah 63 and verse 7, where God is like this with the nation of Israel. They were his people. God says, I've called my son out of Egypt. So the nation of Israel, God says, they're my son. And he identifies with them. God also identifies with us. Listen to Isaiah 63, verse 7. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. What a beautiful picture. What a wonderful statement. It says, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. God identified with his people so much that as the nation of Israel was afflicting them in Egypt, God felt afflicted with them and for them. And then he came and brought them out. He called them to himself. And from that moment on, and even when they were in sin, even when he sent the judgment, in all their affliction, he was afflicted with them. He pitied them. It grieved him for his people to be afflicted. God identifies with his people. That's the way that we should comfort someone else. That if they are afflicted, we are afflicted. If they are sorrowful, we are sorrowful. We're called to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. We are to identify with them, feel the pain and the weight of what they're going through. There's another passage, we won't turn there, but when Saul became a Christian, when Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, the first question Jesus asked him was, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he thought, I'm not persecuting Jesus, I'm persecuting these Christians. But Jesus says, you mess with them, you mess with me. You persecute them, you persecute me. And know this, that whenever you go through anything, Jesus goes through it with you. And we need to show that truth to other believers. And we need to be that to other believers. Go through it with them and comfort them. Know your connection with them and identify with them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 23 through 26 says this about the connection we have in the body of Christ. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Can you imagine if in the church, it wasn't just that if somebody suffers, there's somebody else that suffers with them. But can you imagine what it would be like if everybody suffered with that one? That there was such a unity. Sometimes there can be one or two that comes alongside, but then other people will scoff at them. Other people will point the finger in judgment. Oh, you're getting what you deserve. Imagine if the whole body rallied around and if one member suffered, if any member suffered, all of the members suffered with them. That's what we are called to do. We're called, because we are connected through Jesus, we're connected in the body, we're called to recognize that connection and reach out and comfort one another. Number six, the sixth principle I want to share, is that not all attempts at comfort result in comfort. And this may be a pretty obvious truth, a pretty obvious statement. This is our profound thought for the evening, that not every attempt at comfort is successful. Have you ever tried to comfort somebody that either didn't want to be comforted or was not going to be comforted on that day? It's like that with our small children. You know, something happens. Maybe their balloon popped. Something really severe. And no matter what you do, you could say, oh, it's okay, I'll get you another balloon. No, I wanted that balloon. I'll give you a red one. I wanted a blue one. You know, and they've decided that they will not be comforted. Maybe they missed their nap or woke up a little bit early from the nap. And no matter what you try, it's going to fall on deaf ears. It will not work. This is similar. And by the way, sometimes you can be doing a good job and it just doesn't work. And sometimes it's because the comfort is incorrect or inappropriate. We talked about comforting needing to be done according to truth. We talked about Job's friends. I want to read what Job said to his friends because their comfort was in vain. Job 16 and verse 1, it says, "Then Job answered and said, 'I've heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. Shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as ye do. If your soul were in my soul's stead, I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not assuaged. And though I forbear, what am I eased? But now he hath made me weary. Thou hast made desolate all my company. And thou hast filled me with wrinkles, which is a witness against me, and my leanness rising up in me beareth witness to my face.'" Job says, and by the way, these friends surrounded Job, and they started out really great. They sat with him in silence for 7 days and just looked at him in his misery. I mean, those were good friends. They could have done something else for that week, and they came and they sat with him because they loved him. They didn't hate him. They didn't hate Job, but after a while, they started thinking, the wheels in their head started to turn, and they all decided together and agreed that Job must have done something wrong, that he deserved this from God. And so they started to heap up accusations on him. And those accusations and that pointing the finger of judgment did not comfort him. It actually made it worse for him. They should have sat there for 7 days and gotten up and walked away. That would have been the closest that Job ever was to comfort from them. But they tried, they came to comfort Job, and then they failed because they started to have their own ideas instead of looking to God and his principles. And so know this, that just because you try to comfort someone, it might fail at times. Sometimes we need to do a better job of comforting. We need to do it with truth and with God's word. Maybe it's a lack of love. But comforting, the attempt at comfort is not always successful. So we need to not be discouraged if it doesn't work, if the person isn't comforted, and just try to do a better job. Go on, don't be jaded. Sometimes it's the other person, sometimes it may be you. But do your best to comfort, even though not every attempt will be successful. And then the last principle I want to look at, number 7, is that if others don't comfort us, we must encourage ourselves. We're talking about comforting others, one another, and it's kind of a reciprocal. I comfort you, you comfort me. I comfort him, he comforts me. But it's not always reciprocal. And this is the Christian life. This is ministry. Welcome to ministry. Is that sometimes you can pour out yourself to someone and never get anything in return. Sometimes the very people that you comfort, the very people that you love will turn on you, stab you in the back. And when that happens, sometimes all you can do is learn how to encourage yourself. You ought to comfort other people. People ought to comfort you, but it doesn't always come back. By the way, if it doesn't come back, don't stop giving it out. So many people say, you know what, I'm done. That person turned around. That person doesn't help me. You know what? I'm done trying to help people. Don't be that way. Imagine if Jesus were that way. He never would have gone to the cross. You know, Paul would have quit on the ministry. But keep on comforting. And if it doesn't come back, we need to learn how to comfort ourselves, encourage ourselves. There's a wonderful passage. I want to finish with this. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. That David and his men were out fighting. And while they were fighting, people came and sacked their village and kidnapped all of their family, their wives, their children. They burned their cities, and everyone was discouraged, including David. And then on top of being discouraged, all the people were going to kill David. So what's he going to do? His own men were going to kill him. 1 Samuel 36, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Who is he going to turn to on this day for comfort? The men that are with him are now against him. Jonathan, he's never going to see Jonathan again. There have been times in his life that Jonathan has come along and strengthened him and encouraged him and put his hand in God's hand. But not on this day. He's all by himself. So what's he going to do? Some people commit suicide in such a situation. But we don't have to go there. We can encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. This is why comfort has to be according to truth. Because if you're making up stuff, sometimes there's nothing else to make up. But you go to God, and he will always be there for you. If you trust in man, if you say, oh, I need comfort, who's going to comfort me? Who's going to comfort me? The arm of flesh will fail you. Sometimes you can look like Job and David both said this in their lives. I looked on my left hand, there's nobody there. I looked on my right hand, nobody there. I'm all alone. And then they looked up, and God was with them, and God will always be there. So don't put all of your help in man. Don't put your trust in man, because man will let you down. But if you go to God and his word, that eternal truth will always be there. And then you will continue to be equipped to turn and comfort others. It is par for the course that difficulties will come in the Christian life. And sometimes the reason God has sent you a difficulty, the reason God has sent someone else a difficulty, is so that we can practice the Christian discipline of comforting one another. Are you looking for those opportunities? I'm not saying are you looking to be comforted, but are you looking for opportunities to comfort others? You don't know sometimes what somebody's going through. Sometimes you have to pry and dig a little bit without being too nosy, but just say, hey, anything I can pray about you for, anything that I can do to encourage you and help you, I just want to be a blessing to you. And you never know what somebody's going through, but there are more people that need comfort than we often are aware of. So pray, ask God to open your eyes and ask God to open your heart, that once you know about a situation, you will fall in with them. You'll identify with them. You'll say, you know what? This could have been me. This could be me. What would I want if I were down? I want to reach down and lift them up in the name of the Lord and put their hand in God's hand. Comfort one another. Let's pray together.